We have Lisbeth Latham on the line, who she is a regular writer for Green Left Weekly, a union activist, and also maintains a blog called Revitalising Labour. We have her on the program today because she regularly, you know, follows French politics, and there's been quite a lot of developments in French politics, especially in regards to the first round of the presidential elections passing. So, yeah, good morning, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm good. All right, so what can you give your kind of initial thoughts on the results of the elections and kind of what it means for left-wing politics in France?
Well, I think that at one level, the results are an earthquake in French politics, but on the other, they're completely expected. Like the final outcome in terms of Le Pen and Macron making it through the second round is not unexpected. The polls show that that was the most likely outcome, but in terms of the earthquake, the fact that it's the first time ever that neither of the two main parties, in terms of the left or the right, have made it through the second round, it's quite significant. And you have seen the total, decomposition of the Socialist Party in this election. At the same time, you've got the normalisation of the National Front to a much greater extent than in the past. In terms of what it means for left politics, I guess because Mélenchon, who was the main left candidate to the left of the Socialist Party, his poll results, which are just under 20% of the those who participated in the elections, it's the biggest poll by a party to the left, a candidate to the left of social democracy since '69, when the Communist Party's candidate got about 22%, which is quite. Is very significant and very important, but I guess we have to ground that with the reality that the Le Pen got 21% of the vote, which is really, really significant in terms of the extent to which the right-wing racist politics is acceptable in France at the moment.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, one of the things that I've regularly heard from the left on, you know, this whole election is... there's a very high possibility that Macron is going to win, but the left there's this kind of fear that, you know, basically, because the victory of Macron would basically mean a deepening of more neoliberal economic policies, which would then in turn deepen support for the kind of National Front. And so there's this sort of quote that's going around, oh, yes, the scariest thing that we're worried about is that Le Pen is going to become the next president following the election right after this because Macron is just another establishment candidate who's going to put forward more neoliberal economic policies.
Yeah, well, I think this isn't the first time that the National Front have made it through to the second round. In 2002, Marine Le Pen's father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, made it through to the second round in a surprise because the Socialist Party's candidate, Jospin, was unable to secure sufficient votes to make it through. But there is... that experience of people uniting behind Chirac to make sure that Le Pen didn't make it through, didn't win, and this experience does definitely pose the possibility that of consolidation of Le Pen's position in terms of if there's further neoliberal attacks, the anger and frustration that has helped to galvanise support for Le Pen will continue, particularly if the left is seen as being supporting the basis for those attacks by supporting Macron. So coming out of the first round, Mélenchon has made it clear that he's made a clear statement that there should be no votes for Le Pen, but it's unclear at this point what position he and his movement, France Insoumise, the France Unsubdued, will take regarding a vote for Macron. So they're having a consultation at the moment to work out what their position will be, whether it will be a call for an abstention from the second round, a call for people to spoil their ballots in the second round, or a call for people to vote for Macron. All three positions, they're saying are moral positions that would be acceptable. They're just working out what they will do. The NPA, which is the new anti-capitalist party, who also stood a candidate who got 1.6% of the 1.3% of the vote, Philip Poutou, who's a Ford a mechanic at a Ford plant. They've taken a position of making it very clear that they won't call for a vote for Macron. Their view is a call for Macron would, by the left, would indeed position the left as of endorsing what would come under Macron, and would forget that the attacks that both the right and the social democracy have brought on to the French working class and other marginalised sections of the French community is exactly what's laid the basis for Le Pen, and they're calling for people for the struggle to be in the streets, both against Le Pen and against Macron.
Yeah. Just one other, something I've observed about Macron is, you know, I'd like to hear kind of like your kind of some comments on the history of Macron, because basically Macron, you know, from my understanding, served under Francis Holland and, you know, basically implemented a lot of the sort of very regressive kind of labour laws in France. But one of the most interesting things I think about Macron's present election is he sort of has this smooth way of presenting himself as neither left or right, but, you know, also against... He also almost puts forward this kind of centrist, kind of anti-establishment kind of sort of thing, where he's not like the traditional parties, therefore he'll be different. And is that part of the reason why he's received so much broad support in terms of his presidency? Or is it mainly due to, you know, the fact that, you know, he's basically putting forward everything that the establishment wants and the establishment has gone behind him in that sense?
I guess it depends what you call it, the establishment. So Macron's a banker. He comes from a banking background. He worked for one of the Rothschilds banks, but he's moved quite freely between the banking world and the world of the senior ranks of politics. So I was a member of the Socialist Party for a period of time. 2002, he was the Deputy General Secretary inside the Elysee Palace, which is the presidential palace. So he had a senior role within the Hollande's presidency. In 2014, he took up a ministership in the second Valls government. So the way in which the French government's worked out is you have the presidency and then you have the government, which is formed out of the parliamentary ranks, out of the dominant parliamentary group. You don't have to be a member of parliament to be a minister. And indeed, if you are a member of parliament, you essentially give up your seat to your second while you're a minister. And so he had a ministry for weird ministry for economics and I think partly for IT. It was a weird ministry, and he did drive through some deregulation of the labour market, particularly around making it easier for people to work, for workers to be sacked. Was part of the Macron laws that were driven through under him. He was also a supporter of the El Khomri laws, which were passed last year, which were deregulation of the broader labour market through an undermining of what's in France is referred to as the labour code. I guess in Australia it'd be equivalent of a combination of the award system and the national employment standards. It's not a great translation because it's a very different labour system. So that's his background, and he's moved quite freely between them. He does present himself, I guess, as above politics in some ways. So his party on Marche, on the move, that he formed last year, they're looking to run candidates in the legislative elections, which they'll need to do in order for him to actually be able to do much as the president, which they're promising that half of them will have previously held political offices and other of them will have had life have been part of civil society in whatever way that takes. It's a bit unclear about exactly what their backgrounds would be.
Perhaps banking.
Well, but banking partly, but I think other aspects as well. France's social life is very large, and people move between things really weirdly. So So under Sarkozy, he had a person take up the ministry who'd founded a fairly regressive position in a ministry who'd founded Médecins Sans Frontières. So people can move between things quite freely. It's a very dynamic civil society, much more so than Australia. I think in terms of the extent to which Macron represents things, like there's some stats that have come out in terms of incomes of support bases. He got the biggest share of people of the richest sections of French society. He got about 30% of the richest income bracket, compared to Le Pen getting 12% of that bracket. And in terms of the growth of his position of the party, it was really a consequence of the decomposition of the right wing of the Socialist Party, and the decomposition to an extent of the centre-right parties. And part of the reason why he was able to gain ground was that when the Socialist Party held an open nomination process for who would be their presidential candidate, they tried to rope in pretty much the entirety of the left into that process. So the Communist Party was invited to be part of the pre-selection process. Mélenchon was invited. They all could just stand, and it was ideal you have one candidate and everyone would come behind that one candidate. So it was an attempt for them to try and save themselves electorally by roping in the rest of the left into their campaign. Didn't really work. Mélenchon said no. The Communist Party said no. Hollande, who was the sitting president, said in December, I'm not going to be part of it, mainly because of the fact that he had 4% approval rating and people went, you've got no chance. But Macron also said he wouldn't be part of it. When Hamon, who was the PS's final candidate, defeated the sitting Prime Minister, Emmanuel Valls, to be the candidate, the right wing, and he put forward a left, a more left social democratic platform for the PS in the presidential elections. When he won, the right wing of the Socialist Party essentially went, we're not supporting you. So Emmanuel Valls, so you had the sitting Prime Minister say, I have called for a vote for Macron. The sitting president of the Socialist Party called for a vote for Macron. And so the right wing of the PS just essentially jumped ship and went to Macron, and a chunk of the left jumped ship and went to Mélenchon because Mélenchon was seen as being having a better chance. And you saw for the process of elections, the poll scores from Macron being 10%, so about 5 to 6% above Mélenchon, just them starting to converge. And it's at the point that they converge, Mélenchon shot up and Macron just collapsed. And so his final vote was around 6%, which is like a tiny, tiny vote for an institutional party to get in the presidential elections.
Yeah, just probably we're getting running a bit on time here, but the kind of last question I sort of want to ask is just a bit of a comment on the nature of Le Pen's kind of sort of anti-establishment kind of rhetoric, because one of the most interesting things that she did after the first round of the elections is she stepped down as a National Front leader, whatever that means in
the president of the National Front.
And then basically there's this sort of tendency where I've noticed that within some of her statements she's trying to position herself as like the anti-establishment kind of candidate, like the one that's the voice for the people, you know. And, you know, what kind of your comments on, you know, that kind of character of the far right in France?
So I think definitely the National Front has under Le Pen, the National Front has attempted to what's referred to as detoxify themselves, so they try and paint themselves as being more acceptable to the bulk of the French society, because they've been generally seen under her father as this thoroughly reactionary tradition, thoroughly anti-Semitic, Holocaust-denying bunch of racists. And so the idea, you could be right-wing and racist, but you wouldn't vote for them because that was just a bridge too far, because you'd be basically be a social pariah in my circles. She's done a lot of work to try and make them look better. Partly that was to exclude but a layer of older activists who are seen as just being too far gone, which included her father. Not that they weren't racist, they didn't say racist things, but it was more targeting sections of the community which everyone else in mainstream French society, in terms of the major political parties, have been going for as well, particularly the Muslim community, the Roma community, refugees and undocumented workers. They're all pretty much free game, and painting themselves as the real defenders of French society. To some extent, that's been helped by the fact that particularly under Hollande, the Communist Party has not necessarily had a clear thing of opposing some of the worst aspects of attacks from the Socialist Party. They wouldn't vote for it, but they wouldn't necessarily vote against it, which did allow has allowed the National Front and Marine Le Pen to paint themselves as the only people who stand up against these attacks. You can't trust the centre-right because they attack you. You can't trust the Socialist Party because they'll say they'll protect you and then they come in and they attack you as well. You can't trust the Communists because they're the slackies of the Socialist Party. And so they've constructed this idea that they're the real defenders. And it never really gets tested because, in general, they've been in opposition. At the local level, there are municipalities where they've had control at a local level, and they're not fun. They're really, like, they're an awful, awful organisation, and they're chock full of reactionaries. So I think there'd be lots of people who've had experience with them who would run a mile from them, but lots of the people who'd be voting for them are not the main people who they're targeting. So you've had a situation where there's been a growth of a growing section of the LGBTI community in France who are openly in favour of voting for Le Pen because she's been very successful as painting the Muslim community in France as being the real threat, a real existential threat to the LGBT community in France, and that she's the real defender against them, that she's the real defender of that community. Similarly, amongst Jewish community, it's much more acceptable. There's been articles in a number of Israeli newspapers about Jewish people in France voting for Le Pen. Lots of levels. It's a thoroughly anti-Semitic party. Yep. She said anti-Semitic things during the campaign. But people see that this is an acceptable thing. And there's contradictions there as well. That's not just about what she's doing. It's about the dynamics in those communities in terms of conservatization and support for the right within sections of those communities. But a big part of it is the positioning that they've done, some of which has some connection to reality, a lot of which is just complete distortion of reality.
Hey, anyway, thanks for that, Elizabeth. It's very welcome, you know, having your commentary on French politics. And, thanks for being on our show.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.